The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The CDC has turned into a punchline. It is so sad, but it's true. The CDC has turned into a punchline.
Is there a larger credibility problem with your agency right now?
There's a huge credibility crisis for the CDC. If they hear all these mixed messages and all this confusion, and it's all too complicated, they just move on and ignore it.
They're there because they got in a car accident. They're there because, right. They bumped their head. And they're being included as in the hospital with COVID. That number seems kind of misleading.
It surprises me that they have not been able to parse out that data more carefully. There needs to be transparency about that in terms of for or with COVID.
We need the clearest picture possible. If somebody's in the hospital with a broken leg and they also have asymptomatic COVID, that should not be counted as hospitalized with COVID, clearly.
CDC guidelines have been confusing. They've been befuddling. They have seemed to defy science as we know it in some ways. Is that why we've gotten this kind of crazy guidance?
And the reality is that the CDC is not an agency accustomed to talking to the public. I think we made a mistake all along for the last 2 years looking to the CDC for guidance on how we were going to live our lives. We really should have been looking to more local authorities for that kind of guidance. Ultimately, you need to reform the CDC.
We need to be maybe coming up with realistic solutions and advice to the general public when talking about COVID.
You say a lot of those things 18 months ago, and you're blotted out. You're canceled. From YouTube, you're canceled from Twitter. But now, you know what's infuriating is now the legacy media, they're coming around to the truth. It's 2 years almost. It's been 2 years. And now when they decide they can say it, well, then all of a sudden it's okay. Yeah. Well, why were we ever looking to the CDC in the first place? You got the truth from the Trumpet Daily and a few other sources 18, 20 months ago. Now so much of what was covered up for 2 years, it's being exposed. The lies, the deceit, the ineffectiveness of vaccines, the cover-up of what came out of the Wuhan lab. There's hearings going on right now in the Senate with the good doctor, Dr. Fauci. We have a lot to get to on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show at CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on their platform. And I should note that I'm not sure how Roku works, but I've gotten a few emails from people who watch the show through Roku. So they've encouraged me to, in fact, I've got one email here in my notes somewhere. I appreciate the show. Thank you for it. It gives me hope each day. Just want to mention that I watch it on my smart TV on the Roku app. I don't have a computer. I noticed that it's never mentioned as a resource for viewers. So there you go. You can get to the show via Roku as well. Of course, you can get over to the live stream, the video live stream of our show, exclusively at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. And you can get to the daily live stream as well as all of the podcasts that are posted after the fact. So as I say, more and more of the truth is getting out. More and more of the lies and the deception is being exposed. Think about all of these communists in the media now saying, well, there should be a clear distinction between dying with COVID and dying because of COVID. And we were saying that 18, 20 months ago, as I say. And now they're just getting around to it. No wonder they have no credibility left whatsoever. They're just now getting around to it. The CDC is just now coming around to stressing that point. That's something that should have been blasted from the beginning. I mean, that affects everything. The comorbidities. The fact that if you die with the COVID, What did she say the other day? Rochelle Walensky, 75% have at least four comorbidities? Four? That's right. And yet we heard none of that. We heard nothing like that at the start of the pandemic. It was all about the lockdown and then the masks and the social distancing. And then for the last year, of course, it's all about the vaccine. It's certainly not about science. Listen to this CEO from Pfizer. He's the guy that they still have him on TV as if he's an expert. Listen to what he said in an exchange with a reporter just the other day. Clip one.
And we know that the two doses of the vaccine offer very limited protection, if any.
The two doses of the vaccine offer limited protection, if any? You mean it offers no protection whatsoever? How many of these shots? This is our world in data. 9.37 billion doses have been administered worldwide. As many as 3 billion people worldwide have been fully vaccinated or they've gotten the double jab. And there's the guy at Pfizer, the CEO. How does he even still have a job? The CEO of Pfizer says that the two jabs offer limited protection, if any, he says. It may not even provide any protection. Is that something we were hearing 8-10 months ago? No, of course not. Back then they said the vaccine, look, I saw a clip, we might have it later. He said the science is certain. Not only will you not get the COVID if you get the jabs, but you won't spread it either. Turns out those are both lies, right? So here's this, and the reporter just nodding along. I think if I was reporting Mr. what's his name, Albert Bourla, I think if I was conducting that conversation, I'd say, hang on a second. But no, he just keeps right on talking. And then notice what he brings up. This is a clip. Skip ahead to clip two.
Now, we are working on a new version of our vaccine, the 1.1, let me put it that way, that will cover Omicron as well. And of course, we are waiting to have the final results. The vaccine will be ready in March, and the vaccine will be able to produce it massively.
So the previous version didn't work, offers no protection, but don't you worry, we've got a new one coming, and it's going to provide protection from Omicron. And we have the ability to produce a massive amount of this. Did you know this? And you know how much money, oh, did I say money? Billions upon billions of dollars. How does he still have a job? I think this was Conservative Treehouse that brought up the point. In an ordinary world, this guy's run out of town. Wait a second. Limited, if any, protection? Limited protection, if any? And this after billions and billions of these shots have been pumped into the arms of human beings? Listen to the CDC director. This is Rochelle Walensky just the other day on CNN, clip five.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well, but what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
They can't prevent transmission? And you say they're working exceptionally well? Boy, has the bar really been lowered. They're working exceptionally well. No wonder even legacy media is coming around to criticizing this woman and her agency. They're working exceptionally well, but they don't stop the transmission. That's what the vaccine's supposed to do, right? It's supposed to stop it dead in its tracks, just like the fake president said back in March. Oh, yeah, it stops. I mean, this is insanity. Now it's just anything goes. You're liable to hear any kind of statement on the news cycle today, and it can contradict what was said just 2 seconds ago. The vaccine is hardly shutting down the virus. That's what Joe Biden said he would do. I'm going to come in and shut down the virus. We played the montage before, remember? I'm going to shut down the virus. And now you've got a few more honest ones on the left saying, like Geraldo Rivera, hey, I did everything I was told. I got all the jabs. I kept social distance. I wore the masks. And then I still got the COVID. I still got it. And it's embarrassing. It is. There's more people that should be embarrassed after what this nation, the United States, and the whole world has gone through in the past 2 years. Here we had a beautiful wedding here on campus on Sunday. And the families, the extended families of the bride and the groom, had to watch it from overseas because they can't get into this country. Too many restrictions. Too many restrictions for this disease that we were lied to about from the beginning. And then the vaccine and the lies. The lies about Omicron. Just last week at the Supreme Court, you had one of the Supreme Court justices saying that there's 100,000 children in urgent care in hospitals because of the COVID. She was off by about 96,500. This is a Supreme Court justice. They're telling these, it's almost comical, really. You've got one of the attorneys that was supposed to be there to argue the case, fully jabbed, gets the COVID, can't come into court. These kinds of just crazy events going on all the time. How about Sandy Cortez? The Democrat who went down to Florida where there's all the freedoms, and she's partying away without a mask. But at least she's fully jabbed with this vaccine that's just worked exceptionally well. Exceptionally well. And then she gets the COVID. Listen to, again, this is Rochelle Walensky. She heads up the CDC, clip 4.
Is it time to start rethinking how we're living with this virus, that it's potentially here to stay?
The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least 4 comorbidities. So really, these are people who were unwell to begin with.
Now, that would have been an important message to deliver in February and March of 2020. Listen, the overwhelming majority of victims here, they're unwell to begin with. So if it doesn't target those who are healthier, certainly not the ones who are younger, the ones without comorbidities. I mean, this changes everything when it comes to any kind of restrictions. But you can see now what it amounts to. It's all about being drunk on power. Everything's breaking down for the fake administration here in the United States. Who knows all of the motivations that are moving, even this woman, but Jake Tapper and all the rest of them, to finally point out some things that should have been pointed out from the beginning. So many lies, so much deception. 16,772 more reports, adverse reaction reports filed to the CDC. Now, she won't talk about this. Jake Tapper won't talk about this. Maybe they'll come around to it at some point. Let's hope. 16,772, taking us now through December 31st. The stats are typically about a week behind. And so that last week of December 2021, 382 more deaths as a result of the vaccine. These are just reported cases. The vaccine has killed 21,382 Americans. 21,382. And the Pfizer CEO says that the double jab offers very limited protection, if any. It may not even protect you from the COVID. Leave aside all of the side effects. 1,540 more urgent care cases, bringing that total to 110,000. And then Sonia Sotomayor wants to talk about these phantom figures of how many children are in hospitals dying of COVID. She's a Supreme Court justice. Lying. And here are the stats according to the CDC. Last night, Project Veritas released this 7-minute video. We've tried to condense it so it moves along a little bit quicker, but basically it's a video that exposes Fauci. Fauci, Dr. Collins, Peter Daszak, and how they all covered up from the beginning the fact that this came out, that it sprung from a lab in Wuhan, and that it was probably manipulated, created in other words. And Dr. Fauci, the top doctor in the United States of America, if you go back to January and February of 2020, he covered all of that up. He lied. Here's the Project Veritas report, clip 3.
Project Veritas has obtained never-before-seen military documents regarding the origins of COVID-19, gain-of-function research, vaccines, potential treatments which have been suppressed, and the government's effort to conceal all of this. Dr. Anthony Fauci has testified many times before Congress stating that the U.S. government was never involved in gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
You have said that I am unwilling to take any responsibility for the current pandemic. I have no responsibility for the current pandemic.
That assertion is based on the NIH's definition of gain of function. However, the documents we've obtained refute that. The documents in question stem from a report at the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, better known as DARPA, which were hidden in a top secret share drive. But what is DARPA? They are an agency under the U.S. Department of Defense, which facilitates research and technology with potential military applications.
DARPA, about 5-6 years ago, we stood up an office called the Biotechnology Office, and the real purpose of that was to understand how biology worked and then build design, build, and test cycles where you could engineer microorganisms to do things that you want to do.
Major Murphy's report states that EcoHealth Alliance approached DARPA in March 2018, seeking funding to conduct gain-of-function research of bat-borne coronaviruses. The proposal was named Project Diffuse. DARPA rejected the proposal because the work was too dangerous and could violate the gain-of-function moratorium, despite EcoHealth's position that it would not. According to the documents, the NIAID, under the direction of Dr. Fauci, did not reject the proposal. They went ahead with the research at Wuhan and several sites across the U.S. Major Murphy's report goes on to detail great concern over the COVID-19 gain-of-function program, the concealment of documents, the suppression of potential curatives like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and the mRNA vaccines.
So here's the question. If the Department of Defense, the same people who make our nuclear arsenal, felt this research was too dangerous to proceed with, why in the world did the NIH, NIAID, and EcoHealth Alliance recklessly disregard the risks involved? Did they purposefully change the definition of gain of function in order to bypass the moratorium? Further, who at DARPA made the decision to bury the original report that could have raised red flags to the Pentagon, the White House, or Congress, which may have prevented this entire pandemic that has led to the deaths of 5.4 million people worldwide? Caused much pain and suffering to many millions more.
That's a Project Veritas over at Conservative Treehouse. Sundance takes it quite a few steps further. He says this was an attack. It was a man-made bioweapon, and it was used to bring down a presidency. It was used to destroy Donald Trump. It's what led to all the mail-in ballots. He goes through a timeline, Sundance does. October 17, 2014, U.S. funding of SARS to create a biological weapon was paused due to the extreme risk of a pandemic. It was paused during the Obama years. However, the pause allowed agencies within the U.S. government to continue funding if they determined, quote, the research is urgently necessary to protect the public health or national security. I forget which document that this comes from, but he's quoting an important footnote that was there in the document when the moratorium was put in place. Then he says this, 2014 to 2020, the Pentagon continued funding research in Wuhan, China. Fear of discovery would explain why many top officials in the U.S. Department of Defense were against the Trump administration and with increased severity after the COVID pandemic began. Then just backtrack a bit, and we've pointed this out before, January 9th, 2017. This is right in the last few days of Barack Obama, just a few days before the inauguration of Donald Trump. It says here, 4 days after the Susan Rice Oval Office meeting with Obama, Biden, Comey, etc., the Obama administration reauthorizes funding for the creation of SARS biological weapons. And then it says, quote, adoption of these recommendations will satisfy the requirements for lifting the current moratorium on certain life sciences research that could enhance a pathogen's virulence and or transmissibility to produce a potential pandemic pathogen. So why would Obama want to do this just a few days before he left office? Why would Anthony Fauci be so excited about this technology? Yes, he'd lie about it later, for sure. But there has been some footage, we've played it before, of Peter Daszak in some of these seminars and such in 2018 and 19. They knew it, and it's beginning to be exposed. Certainly Fauci's cover-up of the COVID pandemic. I mean, look, just the mere fact that it was created by a human being, that it was made in the Wuhan lab, that it was funded by Fauci's group. You don't have to go that far out on a limb to understand what's happening here. There's a lot of motivations, of course, big pharma, and we've talked about some of those other topics previously. But listen to this from Conservative Treehouse. It says, if you have followed how the U.S. intelligence community operates, you can see a pretty clear picture emerge of a strong likelihood surrounding what took place. It says, the U.S. Defense Department developed SARS-CoV-2 in North Carolina, the fourth branch, and he calls it the fourth branch, the intelligence community, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, wanted to use it. The Pentagon starts funding for development of COVID in partnership with Wuhan, setting up the cover story. It says the fourth branch then uses the virus by releasing it in and around Wuhan. Everything after that is simply part of the fourth branch covering their tracks. Wuhan, China becomes the patsy. It says here, finally, the intelligence community release of COVID-19 would have two transparent motives for the fourth branch. Number one, get rid of Trump via mail-in ballots and intelligence assistance toward the 2020 election result. And then number two, expand their influence and control operations as the most powerful force in the U.S. government. Expand their power. Grow their power, even as they destroy Donald Trump. And as Sundance brings out, I mean, there's also trillions of dollars at play here. They've got to get rid of the bad orange, man, no matter what. I mean, this is for the good of the world. So use a pandemic. Use whatever you can to get this mail-in balloting scheme in place. And they did it. They pulled it off. Jim Jordan, he writes to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Xavier Becerra. This is just today, dated today. And basically, it's a House Oversight Committee, the Republicans, and just a few at that, pointing out how Fauci concealed all of this info about the Wuhan lab. Jordan writes, this is based on emails that have been released. Those have been coming out over the past many months. They reveal that Dr. Fauci was warned of two things: the potential that COVID-19 leaked from the Wuhan Institute of Virology And number two, the possibility that the virus was intentionally genetically manipulated. Fauci was warned about this in January and February of 2020. Jordan says, despite Dr. Fauci claiming otherwise on multiple occasions, he was in fact aware of the monetary relationship between NIAID, the U.S. National Institute of Health, that's the NIH, EcoHealth Alliance, and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. He was warned of this. He knew about these connections by January 27th, 2020. It says Dr. Fauci also knew that NIAID worked with EcoHealth to craft a grant policy to sidestep the gain-of-function moratorium at the time. It says the new policy designed by EcoHealth and agreed to by NIAID allowed EcoHealth to complete dangerous experiments on novel bat coronaviruses with very little oversight that would have otherwise been blocked by the moratorium. Further on in the letter, it says on February 1st, 2020, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Collins, and at least 11 other scientists convened a conference call to discuss COVID-19. It was on this conference call that Drs. Fauci and Collins were first warned that COVID-19 may have leaked from the lab, further, may have been intentionally genetically manipulated. They know the exact conference, February 1st, 2020. Yeah, it came from the lab, and it may have been genetically manipulated. Well, speaking of information that would have been good to know from the beginning, instead, all through 2020, it was covered up. Covered up, with a few exceptions. Them being the bad orange man. I remember the statement by Pompeo. He said he thought it came from the lab. Aside from that, the doctors, the ones that are concerned about our overall health. The doctors covered up this truth. That's because they were using this as a weapon. It was used to attack Donald Trump. I understand we're connecting a few dots here that most others will not connect. But listen, we saw this play out in the seventh and final era of God's church. This kind of evil and corruption, this kind of sinister behavior, this kind of anything goes, it's the same mentality as Merrick Garland last week. Yeah, anything, everything, there will be no end to this attack on Trump supporters. We're just going to go after everyone, whether you were there on January 6th or not. Anybody connected in any way. I saw where Ted Cruz, by the way, asked an FBI official, did you have FBI officials in that protest? Were they part of the January 6th protest? And whoever the FBI official was testified, I can't answer that question. Can't answer it. We can't get to the truth. I mean, this is the deep state. I mean, they've got so much power. And if they want to unleash hundreds of FBI agents and or informants into a Trump protest in order to entrap or to frame Trump supporters, well, we're doing it for the good of the world. The whole world needs the deep state to run the United States. Certainly not a president that wants to drain the swamp. Well, there's certainly a there's certainly a puppet master who's also very, very powerful, who's running the deep state. That's Barack Hussein Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. 2013, you heard it here first, the America Under Attack, or the booklet, America Under Attack. You know there's a spirit behind this. So just start putting together the people, the personalities that the devil's working through to blot out even the name of Israel. That Veritas video talked about how that early on they covered up the therapeutic treatments, like with ivermectin, and hydroxychloroquine. Those are just cheap generic drugs. And I mean, we can't deal with a disease with cheap drugs that have been around for 50, 60 years. We've got something new. We've got something exceptional. We've got something that provides no protection. Listen to this from Maria Bartiromo's show on Sunday, clip six.
Yet this administration continues to refuse to acknowledge treatments that have worked, such as anti-malaria drugs, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. They are cheap, they are generic, they're off patent. Why is the administration telling us to ride it out and be sick for 2 weeks, stopping our lives for 2 weeks instead of treating these flu symptoms at the first sign of infection?
That's been the messaging for over a year now, is that, well, if you get sick, then you're just sick. Go to the hospital. And of course, if they get you on remdesivir or a ventilator, that's pretty much it. But then they say nothing of early treatment. As she brings out, she was on her show with Senator Ron Johnson and this doctor named Pierre Corey. Listen to more from Sunday, clip seven.
Well, what you're seeing is the product of a system, right? The system is entirely structured, and it's scary how it's structured. It's structured to entirely act within the interests of for-profit pharmaceutical corporations. There is no system for assessing and approving generic drugs. And in fact, it's almost like there's a blockade that's set up. They just don't approve them. They don't assess them. And in this pandemic, those drugs have actually been shown to be the most effective. They're used all around the world. 25% of the planet is using ivermectin in COVID. There's 73 controlled trials, yet they're being ignored.
It's worse than ignoring it. They, like Dr. Kennedy, or I guess he's not a doctor, but Robert Kennedy in his book, The Real Anthony Fauci, there's a concerted effort to cover it up, just like with the lab leak. It's not about science. It's about will worship. Do as I say. Do what Dr. Fauci says. Never mind the lies. Never mind the cover-up. Listen to this and to Maria's reaction after this exchange, clip eight.
And the tragedy, Maria, is that this entire pandemic, we have not had an early treatment recommended by the government. It's because they've been waiting for the approvals for the novel patented drugs. And the two that just got approval, one study, one and done with these pharmaceutical companies. And meanwhile, you have the generic drugs, which have many dozens of trials, and they don't get approval. It is absolutely absurd. And these drugs that just got approved, one doesn't work. India just canceled their order for it because they know it doesn't work. And the other one is highly toxic. And so the absurdity and the tragedy and the damage on the American people by a broken system, we need to fix this. Where people are dying because they're being deprived of highly effective, cheap, widely available drugs that do not present as obscene profits to the pharmaceutical companies.
That is disgusting. I know for a fact that hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin work to treat COVID.
Now, we're not here to endorse these therapeutics, but listen to her. She says it's disgusting to cover up treatment that evidently she had. Donald Trump had it. And yet it's covered up because, as this doctor explains, Big Pharma doesn't benefit from it. Big Pharma can't control everything. I mean, if it's a cheap drug that's been around all the time, if it's everywhere, you know, he points out how that some of these polio drugs taken in Western Africa, that's, in his view, a reason why you haven't seen outbreaks in places like that, like you do in New York City, for example. So much misinformation. Just again, go back to the montage at the start of this program and think for a moment about how saying any of that just 12, 15 months ago, you would have been flagged on Twitter. You would have been banned for misinformation. One more exchange from her show Sunday, clip nine.
But what is such a scandal is you have these approved generic drugs. They are safe. The safety profile is remarkable on these things. And yet their use is being blocked and sabotaged by people like Fauci and Collins and Walensky and the Biden administration. And I agree with the doctors like Dr. Corey, who said that probably 500,000 people in America might have needlessly died for lack of treatment. It's a scandal.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. Dr. Malone has said as much as well. 500,000 people in America, he estimates, have died because of all this misinformation. But just step back and look at the bigger picture. You're talking about millions of people who've died all around the world, whether because of COVID or we'll play along, because of COVID, with COVID, whatever the figure is. Certainly a lot of people have suffered. A lot of people have died. And this virus was created. It's a man-made virus. And then you look at the deep state, then you connect to Barack Obama, Fauci, and friends. And I mean, these are some, it is disgusting. All of this sinister activity, this behavior, this lawlessness, this corruption on a massive scale. America Under Attack. If you don't have that booklet, make sure that you request one today. As I say, it's from 2013, almost 9 years old. The operators are standing by. It's 1-866-930-3024. That's a toll-free number if you're in the United States, Canada, or the Caribbean. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
Yesterday we talked about the law of cause and effect. I read some verses in Galatians 6 to you, verse 4. It says, "Let everyone bring his own work to the test." That's in the Moffat translation. Everyone bring his own work to the test. Examine yourself, it says in 2 Corinthians 13, I believe. Examine yourself. I mean, this is not something we just reserve for the weeks leading up to Passover. But all through the year, test yourself. See if you're producing good fruit. Verse 7, it says, "Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." The Phillips translation says, "A man's harvest in life will depend entirely, it depends entirely on what he sows." The cause, in other words. The devil wants us, he wants us to concern ourselves with the effect. It's like with COVID. Okay, so here's this disease. Let's just forget about where it started. Forget about who's responsible. Forget about how we correct problems in the Wuhan lab. Or how we correct comorbidities, how we get healthier as a people so that we're not subjected to or vulnerable to this kind of a virus, to this kind of a sickness. Instead, it's deal with the effect. Deal with the effect. And then for 2 years, we've been dealing with the effect based on bad information. Man, that just makes matters 10 times worse. God says, deal with the cause. There's a cause for every effect. And if we don't go and deal with that or change that, if it's producing a bad effect, well, the misery and the suffering just continues. A man's harvest in life will depend entirely on what he sows. It's called the law of the farm. If you work the ground, if you till the ground and you plant the seeds and you water it and take away the weeds and so on, then you're going to get a fruit-bearing tree or bush or plant. We are known, or we lay the seeds down, and then we know what's going to come later if we put in the time, if we put in the work. Now, that's going to take some, as I was saying yesterday, I mean, we've got to make some decisions day in and day out of what it is that we're going to do. I was making the point in forum this morning, just the importance of building the right kind of environment. There was this book I was reading recently that basically made a point that Herbert Armstrong made 50, 60, 70 years ago. He raised up his colleges, Ambassador College in Pasadena, Big Sandy, Bricketwood, and on all three, as he said, they just mutually excelled each other. They were beautiful campuses, such an uplifting, positive, joyous environment, a beautiful environment. Because Mr. Armstrong understood well that we really are influenced by our surroundings, our environment. This book that I mentioned, it made the point that, you know, we often look at someone we see as really self-disciplined or motivated. They've got a lot of willpower. And with most people that are really ambitious and disciplined in that way, they've created an environment that really is conducive to productivity. Think, as I was telling the students and principals this morning, think of an environment that a little infant is born into. If, let's say, there's no father, or supposing the two are together, they're fighting all the time, it's an angry, noisy environment, there's media, there are TVs, music, it's blaring, blasting away all day long. And then the parents, they don't care. They don't have standards. So any kind of movie with violence, sex, they just play it. The kids are absorbing all of this. And they come to think that, well, that must be normal. This must be how you live. I heard a conservative commentator the other day talk about his little boy, just kind of laughed it off, saying, well, yeah, my boy's not like your boy. He plays video games all the time. And I just thought to myself, well, stop it then. Tell him he can't do that. Exercise some authority. Change the environment where his options are playing outside or with a friend or doing something active or learning how to play the piano. I mean, parents, what a responsibility this is to create an environment where a child is born into it and there's order, there's peace, there's government, there are rules. The child really will benefit from that. Now, for us as adults, I mean, we need to really be, as I was saying to the students this morning, we need to use our space, organize our space. 1 Corinthians 14 says that God is the author of order. He's the author of decency and orderliness, not confusion. And think of the Garden of Eden that God put Adam and Eve into. And he said to them, now look, this is a beautiful environment. Maintain it. Dress it and keep it. Exercise dominion over the other living creatures. I mean, you've got some authority here. And make sure you continue to feed on the tree of life. Moses said, as I read to you yesterday in Deuteronomy 30, choose life, choose blessings. Adam and Eve didn't do that. And that beautiful, orderly environment turned to something that was chaotic, disorganized, unhappy, miserable. And the whole world today sprung from that. It was accelerating so fast in its evils. Before the flood, God had to send an earth-wide flood. Gave human civilization a fresh start following that. He had to take other action in Genesis 11 with the Tower of Babel. Because man just gets into evil so quickly and it accelerates. It grows, it spreads. And this is where we are today. It is a challenge to create an Armstrong College campus environment. I remember as I was telling the students, I remember the first time I set foot on Ambassador College campus back in 1988. Pasadena, California. I walked across that campus and I just couldn't believe it. What an inspiration. What a beautiful environment. And I thought, what a blessing God has given me to be a student here at God's college and to be surrounded by people who are motivated and driven by the right things and to have an administration that really does look after us, is concerned about us, and wants to set us on the right course for life. And then to go into the dorm environment, the study room, to be told, this is your desk, this is your bed for the next 2 or 4 years, this is your closet space. It wasn't much, but it was very important. I wanted to get it all organized just so. And then really make it a fruitful and productive exercise. Well, it didn't last as long as I would have thought because of what happened to God's church. So much evil. And Satan is always there, just trying to get his foot in the door. Satan is the author of disorder, chaos, confusion, and all of the suffering, all of the ill health, all of the anger and the resentment, all of the nefarious and sinister activity that goes on behind closed doors. Until maybe a few emails surface, and then we begin to piece together the truth, because you're not going to get the truth from the elites, the rulers. They lie, and then when you say you lied, you say, no, I didn't lie. Just keep right on lying. Galatians 5, verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, this is God's Spirit, this is God's nature. This is God's character. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, it says. Against such there is no law. This is a godly environment. That's what's described here. And the thing is, God wants, He wants to bring that. He wants to bring His life, His nature, His environment into our lives, into our homes, into our study, into our bedroom. Notice the word temperance there at the end of verse 23. This is from the old correspondence course. It says, God does not put within us a sort of miracle-producing dynamo, which continually generates this power, God's power. We must be continually receiving this power. We've made this point recently in our study on the Holy Spirit. How that it circulates. It comes from God into our lives, God's Spirit does, and then flows out of our lives in the form of these good fruits. So we've got to be sowing seeds. We're going to be known, as Galatians 6 brings out. We're going to harvest what we prepared in the ground earlier. It says, you cannot receive a supply of God's Spirit and then bottle it up within you. It circulates like electricity in a complete circuit from God into you and then out from you in love, obedience, faith, joy, patience, and then back to God. He says it must be renewed daily. It must be renewed. Notice 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. I have to sneak in a drink here, see if my voice can... It's a good thing it's 11:55. My voice is still a little bit weak, but I also did a little bit of speaking this morning, so I'm running on fumes, I guess. But we can get through this. 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, dangerous times in the last days." And how does God describe it? Verse 2 says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." This is not a good environment that we're in today. It says in verse 3, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." This is the world of today. This is the present evil world, as it says in Galatians 1. The present evil world, that word incontinent, by the way, means to be without self-control, to be powerless. And that's what you see, a lot of people who are just addicted to the ways of this world, addicted to fleshly pursuits. The mind that's like Romans 8 and verse 5 says, it's just set on fleshly things. The things of this world, materialism, entertainment, music, movies. I guess we better take maybe we have a 30-second promo so I can take another drink and we'll come right back and finish with some emails. You're listening to Stephen Fleury and this is the tail end of the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
All right. Well, I think I about finished my study, so it was a rapid-fire conclusion. Not the best conclusion I've ever had to a Bible study. But since we have, 80 seconds left, I'll read a couple of emails before we conclude. It says here, "Greetings from a little Tasmania down under. Thank you for all the work that you continue to do to bring us the news with God's wonderfully reassuring perspective. He's working out his plan. By miracles, his work will be done." It says, "The king is coming. The spiritual adversary is about to be dethroned in our Father's kingdom, established for the benefit of all man forever." That comes from down under, down in Tasmania, southern tip of Australia. This one here says, I've never seen anyone like you. You call them out. You strip back their level of deception and expose them to the truth. I'm watching every day now." So this is a relatively new viewer. "Keep telling the truth. So few are doing such a job as you. You bring up stuff that I haven't seen on Fox, OAN, or Newsmax." So that's a nice comment from a new viewer. Another one here says, "Your Bible study from yesterday's program really touched me and encouraged me. Very excited to be applying it. Things are going better than good in my life, but I know there is more missing in my prayer life and will be working harder to stir up the Holy Spirit." So profoundly important. So if you'd like to email the program, the email address is td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.